This morning, starting there in verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us go now. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I certainly love you. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I do ask for your help this morning. Lord, as we take time to dwell upon that such an important day in world history when you sent your son to this earth, when he became a man, and the birth of our Savior. Lord, I pray that you help me to communicate this effectively, use it to change us and to draw us closer to you. Lord, as we think upon the shepherds this evening, I pray you help all of us as we're looking at the truth of what happened out in that day, to, Lord, please just help us to get a glimpse to see it through the eyes of the shepherd. And Lord, use that to challenge us. I do pray if there's anyone here who has never truly been converted. Lord, I pray that even this morning that they would repent and place their faith in Christ alone. Lord, may you be glorified. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, of course, it's also found in Matthew, the Christmas story. But Luke's is by far gives us more details and is the most common story to read when it comes to what happened that day that Christ was born. Up until this time in world history, this is the most important day that has occurred. God in the flesh has been born. He has humbled himself. He has come to this earth to save us from our sins. This day has happened. It is again, up to this point in world history, the most important day that has occurred. Incredible. Amazing how the Lord orchestrated it all with all the prophecies that were going to be fulfilled that very evening when Christ was born. The Lord using even Caesar Augustus, the world leader of the time, to even bring about the events that would fulfill prophecy in getting Joseph and Mary to leave Galilee, to head down to Judea, to go to Bethlehem for this census, for this taxing that was taking place. Both of them of the lineage of David, heading down there. And this is at the very end of Mary's pregnancy. They, of course, would head down there, and it wouldn't be too long. There's no room for them, so they're homeless in their hometown, basically. There's no room for them. In the end, she goes into labor, and the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is delivered to a family at the time who has no home in a manger. It isn't the sweet little scene. It would be smelly. It would be there'd be a nastiness to it. This is with the farm animals. It's where he's born. The Son of God, the Creator of the universe. And this is exactly how God wanted it. This is exactly how God orchestrated it. And then from there, when the birth takes place, the very first people that the Lord makes the announcement to are shepherds in a field. Not kings, not the religious leaders, not the seminary graduates. None of those. Not the Sadducees, not the leadership council, none of that. That did not take place. It wasn't the Sanhedrin. It was shepherds in the field. There's some really important lessons we can learn from that. And their response and what happened to them. I mean, just think what it was like for them this evening, these shepherds. Just an ordinary day, an ordinary evening. As we'll see next week, December would be the time that the lambs would be born. Helping with that process. No doubt just sitting down, talking with each other over the events that were taking place, all that was happening, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears unto them. I mean, just think of this. This magnificent creature, they've never witnessed anything like it. They just read about it. They knew they existed. They're just there. This wasn't an everyday occurrence in the New Testament. It rarely happened in all of world history. And they're just shepherds. There's not a prophet among them. And they're there in the field, and this magnificent creature appears. And more than that, don't forget what else appeared. The glory of the Lord. The last time that took place in Scripture was at the dedication of Solomon's temple. And it happens again. Whenever that happens, something major has occurred. And of course, the shepherds see the creature, the glory of the Lord shown round about them. They just fall down. They are completely, fear just grips them, as it would you. And the angel cries out, "Fear not." He said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He let them know the importance. I'm coming to you because right now, God is dwelling among you. The Messiah is here, God in the flesh, the day the world has been waiting for. It's arrived. And even as the announcement is taking place, all of a sudden, the host of heaven, these angels of heaven, cannot contain themselves. And again, the spiritual veil is sort of pulled back there. And the shepherds see this with their own eyes, basically getting a glimpse of heaven, of this whole other realm. And all those angels are there. And they hear those angels proclaiming, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I mean, just think, you're a shepherd in the field. Just think of what took place here through the eyes of the shepherd. The eyes of those men that were working that night. Being a shepherd in Israel at that time was not easy at all. You were very much looked down upon. You were the lowest class there in Israel, basically, as part of the Jewish culture. We're not talking to tax collectors, because they were sort of excluded, excommunicated, if you will. But within there, they were the lowest class. They were considered dirty, nasty. The Pharisees would preach against them because of all the extra rules and regulations that the Pharisees put down because of the shepherd's work. They could not possibly follow it all. So they were looked down upon. And it is to these men that the Lord chooses the very first people to make the announcement to. It shows us, once again, you never know who the Lord's going to use. You don't know. Many times it's the very opposite of what you think. Again, it wasn't the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He chose the shepherds. Which, by the way, when you do look at God's character and how He's always responded to mankind, it makes perfect sense. He does go to the humble. When pride grips you and that takes over, you make your life about you. Listen, Lord is nowhere near that. Humility is so important. And it was the humble shepherds that the Lord appeared to. This matches up with what the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. According as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Because throughout Scripture, it's so true. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Your pride will do nothing but take you from God. It won't draw you close to Him. I think of a pastor friend of mine. You've heard me reference from time to time. Brother Malinak in Ogden, Utah. And I'm almost positive, I can't quite place it. I should have called him and asked that. He was in Bible college at the exact same time as this other man. I won't give his name out because of what happened to him. I'm not going to do that. But when Dave was in Bible college, he's not the one you would have picked that God would have used. He struggled in his classes a lot of times. He just about got kicked out. You've heard me tell the story before why he just about got kicked out of Bible college. They have a new rule in Bible college now because of him. You're not allowed to have handguns. His roommate had a handgun, and he had thought it was the type of gun that if you grabbed it and held the slide, thank you, slide just right, that it would not fire. So he told his roommate this. He said, "No, I can grab it. It won't fire." And so he grabbed it. He said, "Go ahead and fire it. It won't fire." And he fired it. And it fired. Bullet went clean through his hand right there. That just about got him kicked out of Bible college. So he's not somebody you would have looked at and said, the Lord's really going to use that guy. Just wasn't him. But I think it was the same time. If I'd have thought about it, I would have called and just asked him. There's another graduate right around the same time, if not the exact same time. He was their top graduate. Everybody thought, man, this guy is going to do something great for the Lord. He went right into evangelism even out of graduation. Right into evangelism. However, in 3 years, I think is all it took, 3 years, he would be in jail. He's still in jail. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Perhaps another reason, which I do like this, he went to the shepherds as well that evening, is let's think where the shepherds are rearing the sheep. It's their profession. It's what they use for income. They're right by Jerusalem. 5 miles away. That's it. 5 miles from Jerusalem is where they're at. Most likely, the majority of sheep that they are rearing and guiding when they go to sell them are used for the sacrifices that come to pass in Jerusalem. And the Lord letting them know, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, He's here." What an incredible evening for these men. There's a few things I want you to notice about them that I think can really help us in our life. And listen, the Christian life, take it serious. Don't just use Sunday morning just to come in and think about God for an hour to check a box. I'm glad you're faithful, but try and see that life is about Him. When we look at the shepherds, the first thing that I notice within this account, specifically looking at them, is that they followed what the Lord made known unto them. So they have this incredible experience that takes place. And I'll finish up with that, by the way, the last point I want to make about how we handle those experiences. So they have this incredible experience with these angels, the glory of the Lord, all that they saw. It really is just incredible. And upon receiving the knowledge from God, upon hearing what is taking place, listen to me, they acted upon it. They just didn't sit around and discuss it. They acted upon it. They said, let's go now. We need to go right now. Let's go see what we were just told. Many times we like to talk about what God directs, what we hear from God's word, but rarely, oftentimes, do we ever act upon it. It's so easy to talk a really good game, but it's the living it that makes the difference. It's the acting upon it. I remember hearing an illustration when I was a teenager. I was at a conference and a pastor was preaching, and I really did like his illustration. And he brought out a shotgun. He brought out a shotgun and he had it up on the platform, and he gave in the illustration. He said, let's just say that your house is getting robbed. It just got broken into. You can hear the men in your house. And the dad gets up and says, I'm going to get the gun. Get the kids. So he gets the gun. He gets the kids. And he lays the gun on the floor, and he says, now let's all sit around the gun, and let's do a gun study. The brass would be for the judgment, and, you know, and the barrel of the rifle, you know, for the righteousness of God. And, of course, that would be foolish. His wife would yell at him, pick the gun up and shoot it. Too often, we're too busy having to study without ever acting upon what it is that we're studying. The shepherds acted upon what they knew to be true. We need to be able to be that place, Lord, telling the Lord, I will respond quickly, Lord, to what you show me. I will be obedient. I will follow you. Whatever that might be. You have Grant, who recently put his faith in Christ. He is anxious to follow the Lord in baptism. There's just not a minute he doesn't come up to me and said, can I get baptized yet? Can I get baptized yet? We should be that way with that spirit of a child, just wanting to follow. What's next, Lord? What would you have for me to do? It's so true. We also see, in verse 16, it says, when they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The shepherds simply, here we learn a principle that will be true every single time in your life. They found what God showed them was true. It was true. They weren't disappointed in it. God said, this is what's happened. They obeyed. They said, let's go. Let's see this. They found it. It was true. If we follow what God has showed us, we will find God is right 100% of the time. It is key. I mean, again, if you'll never, ever regret. You'll never, ever find God untrue when you decide to follow Him. When you decide, I'm going to take it serious. I'm going to take it to the next level with my Christian life. And if you're here and you're apart from Christ, listen, you will find it true what He says, that if you die without Him, apart from Him, you will die and spend an eternity in hell. And yet you'll also find true when He says, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What God says is true. I found it true over and over and over again in my life when you've seen something and then you get the realization what God said is true. Again, I remember going back to 1994 and heading out for an assignment that the Air Force gave me that I did everything I possibly could to legally to get rid of that assignment. Just stop paying me, let me out, let me go National Guard, applied for everything I could to get out of the remote assignment. Just had a daughter born. Rachel was 2 months old when I left. The other kids, Daniel and Heather at the time, were also very small, very active. I'm already on paid staff at that church and just did not see it. And I get there and I am just miserable in the moment there. Just miserable, not wanting to be there. I have been there just about a week. But you know what? I found out that God's word is true with what he was showing me. The very first service that I went to with a missionary that was there, I was there just a few days, and actually the missionary, Brother Stewart, who I've had preached there, he had just arrived just about the exact, it might have been the exact same day, just of course not same flights. I did back from a year-long furlough. He just returned. I never met him before. I heard the missionary was there. And so I met with, I went to, I didn't know how to find it. So I actually went to the base chaplaincy to ask advice. I said, listen, I heard there's a Baptist missionary to the American servicemen here. And I said, how do I find him? And that guy I talked with, I don't know who he was. He said, yes, I know someone that goes there. He actually works there in the chaplaincy. I'll get you connected with him. And so I met up with him. He said, listen, we got a service tonight. Why don't you come with me? And I said, great, I'll do it. It was a Friday. And so we met up. We got on the we walked outside the gate, got on the bus, and headed down to the place where the Haven Servicemen Center was. And Friday nights was just Bible memorization. I meet the missionary. If you met him, just always full of joy. And it was just so nice to see that. And he hands me a memory verse pack. He said, this is yours. He goes, start memorizing these verses. We do this every Friday night. And the very first verse I memorized would be so important to me because I was so miserable. And what I found out when I memorized that verse, it's true. What God said is true. The first verse I memorized was Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. And so, like a dummy, because you can get so programmed in your Christianity that you just do things automatically like a robot and not based on truth. So that next day was a Saturday. I was cutting grass at work. And so I'm going over that verse to remember. It's the very first one. It's amazing how that's the first verse the Lord gave me, the very first one. And I'm still feeling miserable, just homesick, don't want to be there. And I'm going over the verse. I just about have it down. It doesn't take long. You know, I'm quoting over and over. And then it just hits me. Do you realize the words you're quoting? Do you have any peace right now? I'm like, I have none. And yet it says that will keep him in perfect peace. But there's a condition to it, isn't there? Whose mind is stayed on thee. And the only way your mind is going to stay on thee was to think of all the truth that simple verse gives you. Because he trusteth in thee. And I said, Lord, I am sorry. I have not been trusting you in this. Not at all. I blame this on the Air Force. I blame this on everything else. Yet you're the one who's in control. And you know what I had? Peace. I'm right where God wants me. Right there. Right where he wants me. Listen, when you follow him, you know what you're going to find out every single time? His word is true. And I'm telling you, the scary thing is this. When you turn against him and you start pulling away from him, you're also going to find out what he says about that is true. Another thing I learned about the shepherds that I love. In verse 17, it says how they went and told everyone about this abroad. Not just they let Joseph and Mary know there, but it says abroad. So everywhere they went, they were telling others what had taken place. That they heard that the Messiah is here. We had an angel, the glory of the Lord. And you could just imagine people were hearing that. Wait, when's the last time that happened? Going back into the scriptures. That was at the temple. the temple, Solomon's dedication, that represented the very presence of God. They went and told others. All of us here have a responsibility to tell others. All of us. If you know the Lord, you have that as a responsibility. You have the most precious, the most important truth that the world needs to hear. We possess it. You know, you can take, see, I'm just not clear. Again, when I do the soul winning class again, come to that and practice it. You've got to practice it. Take one, get what is truth or why am I here track. Just read through the gospel portion of it. That will teach you how to present the gospel. Take the time to learn how to effectively, and it's not difficult. The message isn't challenging. And listen, there's a key to this. It's not about, I think that spirit's been going away, which I'm so glad for. But for a while with an independent Baptist churches, it was all about a canned presentation that borderlined absolute manipulation. Of just running it through to get people to say certain words and say a certain prayer, and boom, I got another one. Bunch of nonsense. It's not about pride. It's about presenting the gospel because that person needs it, where they can see it in your eyes when you're presenting it. Listen to me. This is what you need. Judgment is coming. This is what God did to save you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, this is our responsibility to communicate that message. It's not an accident that God, who those that God has put around you. We need to be faithful to the commission that has been given to us. And they told it everywhere they went with boldness. Maybe to say when you leave here, there needs to be that commitment. Lord, please help me every day to seek to tell others. Again, start maybe just passing out some tracts. And then we see in verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. So they're coming back. They just saw, was a baby. Was it? By the way, the baby didn't have a halo above him. There was no halo above his head. Nope. The Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, God the Son, humbled Himself so much to become a man that He was there as an infant, dependent upon His mother, on His Father. They saw Him and they go about thinking of all that had just happened, of what this means that a Savior has come. This is the day we've been waiting for. From the very first promise of God, right when Adam and Eve fell, God promised this day. It's here. It led to joy in their life. And it's true, when you truly follow God and you find out what He says is true, it actually gives you joy. You understand why you're here. I mean, think about it. The world goes about trying to find joy and pleasure, whether that is in drugs or alcohol, the opposite sex, entertainment, money, career, whatever it is. Those things never last. They always will end in disappointment and heartache. It is the Lord, the one who was perfect, the one who was holy, the one who was merciful, full of long-suffering, that following Him, it leads to that joy because what He says is true. Every time you follow Him, you see it. It's why you were created to begin with. It's where you begin to understand, as I just preached a message or two ago, how the joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy coming in knowing what my future holds. That heaven is my home. That joy in coming that I know the true God who loves me and saved me. It leads to true joy. Then let me finish with this thought. This is important. What I want you to think about is this. It doesn't address this in Scripture, but I want you to think about it. I want you to think about the next day in the shepherd's life. They had that great experience. All that they'd seen. But the truth is, it would be 30 years before Jesus Christ would even begin his ministry. 30 years. 30 years. The next day, no doubt the shepherds had to go back to everyday life. They never had appearance by another angel again. There was never again the glory of the Lord shown round about them. No more did they have the glimpse into heaven with those angels glorifying God. That never happened again in their life. And I wonder, I hope not, and I doubt it, but I wonder if the amazement of that night ever left them. There are times when God does do a measure of revival in our heart. There are times when He does something amazing where it just grabs you. You're so excited. You can see it so clearly. Or whatever it does, you're on cloud nine spiritually. Those are the times we have our Christmas experience, if you will. But listen to me. The next day comes. The next day arrives when normal life is returned. As I was learning and growing in Christ in my teenage years, I remember one of those experiences where it was just so exciting about serving God. I just wanted to serve God. I didn't know how or anything that night. It was the very first time I ever went to, and this is going back to the 80s, it's been 1986, I guess. The first time I ever went to a SWORD conference, which were huge back then in independent Baptist churches. I didn't know any of the names. I was not familiar even really with independent Baptist churches. I mean, I just started serving God. The pastor had come to me at 16 years of age. And he took me in, and again, it was the youth guy. He said, listen, why don't you come with me? We're going to go to a SWORD conference. I didn't know what that even was. No clue. So we get in his car. It's about a 30, 35-minute drive. We get there. Place is packed. Packed. Two of that time, without a doubt, the most prominent independent Baptist preachers are preaching that night. I had no clue who they were. Never heard their names one time ever before in my life. And I sat in there, though. But the Lord knew with that 16-year-old, he was dead serious about serving God. It's what I wanted. And that night, and remember, my church was not an independent fundamental Baptist church that I was growing in. It was not. It was pretty far from it. But my pastor, nonetheless, took me to that SWORD conference. I had never heard preaching like that in my life. Never. Man, I was feasting on it. And I left there so excited. So changed. I signed up for that SWORD, whatever that newspaper was. I was getting the preachers to their preaching tapes every single week from that point on. But you know what happened? That was a Thursday night. You know what happened Friday morning? I was back in high school. Friday morning, I'm back in my public high school. The mountaintop experience from 12 hours earlier is over with. And I had to learn in my Christian life so I wasn't a roller coaster. For certainly being grateful and thankful and needing those experiences like that where God does revive and gets the excitement kicked up. But I have learned the key is the daily walk. It's simply using that as just to encourage and to go on and to follow. And the Lord provides those times for us. But it's the daily walk. Living your life, listen to me, this don't miss this statement. It's living your life because of truth, not because of the emotion you're feeling in the moment. So this morning we can learn from the shepherds. I mean, what the Lord revealed to them, they were humble. What the Lord revealed to them, they acted on. They didn't wait. They didn't delay. They didn't wait for that perfect setup. Listen, if that's something in your life right now, that day's never going to come. You do right now. You do what's right now. Don't wait for the perfect setup. Do what's right now. They acted upon what the Lord showed them. I mean, and they were telling everybody. We have that responsibility as well. They found what the Lord told them was true and then stay faithful to it each and every day. Don't base it just on those needed experiences we have at times, but on truth. With heads bowed and eyes closed.